Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, I know, Derek, you know, you're a writer. You write, you know, lyrics and music. But you were sharing with me, you know, because the key to what God's called us to do, you know, is picking up our cross and following him, right?
Right.
So tell me, you know, what's God laid in your heart, man?
Well, the Lord's been speaking to me in the past 2 years about just death and embracing the newness of life, you know, in Christ Jesus. So many of us, we come into Christ and we struggle and we go back and forth between the church house and where we came from, or, you know, this promised land in Egypt, because we're not embracing what it is that God is trying to show us. You know, we're not seeing the full detail, and that it's all about relationship and realizing who he is. You know, a lot of us, we use the word of God and we use church as a peace retreat. You know, but we just go and we retreat, we kick up our feet, and we don't serve. We don't know anybody. We don't get to know anybody. And Jesus is just our make me feel better fix. You know,
I feel good, Jesus.
Yeah.
We talked about a counseling session with Jesus. You know, you can imagine sitting on a couch, going through a counseling session with Jesus. You know, into what you're saying there, and hopefully I'm not going to mess your thought up, because I want to hear what you're having to say, that, you know, that a counseling session with Jesus, that if you said, you know, I'm having this issue, this is going on, you know, what do you think I should do? And he says, well, I just think you should cut your hand off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm having issues with, you know, looking at this lady or looking at this man or looking at this internet or looking at television. I think you should just gouge your eyes out. That's not a feel-good Jesus, is it?
No.
He's saying he's serious about sin.
Yeah.
And then he says this. He says, you're a liar. You are a liar. The Word of God says you are a liar.
Mm-hmm.
If you say you love me and you don't love your brother, if you don't know where family, you don't even know if you love your brother yet. Nope. I mean, if you're calling the police on me, you don't even know me yet.
Nope.
Right? And you would really admire me because I didn't take you out when you did that. Just joking. Not anyway. So you know, understanding that the religions told people that you can actually sit by somebody for 10 years and not know they're dying, not know that they're crying out and going through horrific things, and you can be totally unconcerned with them, and Jesus is not, it doesn't bother Jesus at all. Read the Bible, by the way, just if you get a chance, read the Word. You're going to find out he's going to separate us in the end based on how we responded to that person, people that were around us. Because whatever you did or didn't do to the least of these, you did or didn't do to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does matter that you love them and you love people, and you don't say you love them, you show that you love them. You spend time together. And so many expressions today, it's really difficult. And it's difficult for the ministers that are leading these large gatherings, because the people are not rising up and helping them. Or they're rising up to help and they're being told not to help. It's kind of double thing sometimes. You never know. But go ahead. So talk about that.
Yeah, you know, God's just been pouring to me about, you know, just celebrating just that newness of life. You know, there was a point in time in my walk where, you know, I struggled with dying to the things, man, that Christ told us to die to, you know, to lay aside every weight and every sin that besets us. You know, and one thing that lifted a huge weight off of my spiritual walk with Christ is realizing that I am spirit first.
Mm-hmm.
And that if I sin as a believer in Christ Jesus, it's not me, but it's the part of me that needs to be mortified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way it's going to be mortified is through renewing my mind in the Word of God and spending time with my Maker.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, falling on something sharp. Yeah. That's the movement. We need to fall on something sharp.
That's the only way to die to yourself, isn't it?
That's it.
And it's, you're actually participating in the process.
Solomon said that we all go into the same place at the end of this life anyway.
Right.
In a grave.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if we're going to go somewhere, if we're all going to fall, why not fall on the Word of God?
Wow.
Why not fall in love with the Father?
Right.
Why not fall in love with what he already set in place?
Right.
You know, it's so confusing when you see people saying things like, God's called me to start a church. The church has already been started. You know, it started and it's been capped off. Start living, you know. Live fun.
How can you go to what you are? All you can do is truly be. And when you get that revelation that you are the church, you quit criticizing that which you thought was the church, and you realize you start being more merciful, because then you find out that all those words to the church are to you. When he talks about, you know, you should not have idols in the temple, and you're complaining because somebody has a CD ministry in a foyer of some building somewhere, you find out, oh my goodness, I am the temple of God. And he's talking about the images or idolatry that's in my own heart. He's not talking about some, can you believe it? We turned it into so much of a, that we don't even realize when people have idols in their heart, we're trying to remove the idols out of some building that we chose to gather in. While at the same time, people are gathering in places all around the world, even under trees, and God is moving, and they're not trying to change the tree. It's irrelevant. They're just trying to change themselves or allowing God to change them. That's good, man. You think about it, you know, Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, that which are people that know his teaching and follow him, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I mean, that's like, you know, you got to participate. You talk about mass suicide. Obviously, we're not talking about, you know, your flesh counts for nothing. It doesn't matter what you do. You know, it just doesn't, it's just irrelevant. You know, he says, the words I speak to you are spirit. The flesh counts for nothing. And so you got to die to yourself.
Yeah.
You just got to die to yourself. And say, so, well, I was thinking, oh, I'm not dead yet. Well, I think, I mean, it's like, read the word and go, you know, I just want to walk in the light of your word. You go up to a casket and you're seeing somebody that's laying in the casket and they're dead. They're dead. They're gone. Their body's there, but they're dead. And to be asking for the body to be present with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go yell at them, that body. You can poke it. You can call it names. You can talk about its friends and family. It just lays there.
That's the place that we all need to get to.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
I mean, and it's
Pat's there. I'm not there. Yeah, you know I'm joking, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But you know, where the desires of our soul is unmovable and unchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that we desire inwardly is relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and that we cling to the vine. You know, all the bad things that come off the vine, he'll purge it because it still bears fruit off the branches.
That's right.
But if we don't bear any fruit at all, if we don't cling to him or to the rest of the branches, we're no good. And the scripture says in John chapter 15 that we'll be thrown into the fire by men.
Man, you're breaking people's doctrines up because they don't believe that you don't have to bear one fruit. As a matter of fact, they even think there's being taught today that if you have a gift, if you can sing, if you can prophesy, if you can cast out demons, if you're a teacher, if you got wisdom that can actually just untwirl the confound ways of the world, that you're exercising your gift and you're Jesus' best friend. But he says, and I believe in Matthew chapter 7, he says, oh, many people are going to come to me like that. They're going to talk about that. And he's going to say, didn't I use my gift? And he's going to say, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. And that's the branches that didn't understand that fruit is what we do for others. That's why you have to love your brother. You have to love your sister in the Lord. That's Jesus. Mm. He says, I'm not unjust. I will not forget the love you have shown me as you help my people and continue to help them. If you're not moved with the compassion about the other people that are around you that profess to be your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you don't even know their name, and you're calling the police on them.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a definite disconnect. And that you got to check yourself. Because, you know, there's one thing about the world. If you look around, if you traveled at all, mankind is very religious. There's something inside of us that God's put inside of us that wants to worship him. But if it's not directed right, we'll worship anything. And I mean, look at the people, how loyal they are to false religions. What does that mean? That means you could be loyal to what you perceive as another Jesus.
Yeah.
And you need to get loyal to the Jesus who says that in the last days, I'm going to separate the people, the nations, as a shepherd separates goats and sheep. And the ones who didn't realize that I was all around them, that when I was naked and I was hungry and I was in prison and I was homeless and all these different things, you went into your quote prayer closet and had some relationship with somebody that wasn't me because I was all around you, you know, and you didn't do anything for me. And he says, and they go, when were you hungry? When were you thirsty? When were you in need? You know, when were you? I was sitting on the pew next to you for 10 years. You know? And they're going to go, oh, I didn't realize that was you. And then he's going to tell the other ones who did love people and were there for people. They're going to ask the question, well, when did we do this, Jesus? You know what I'm saying? Because they just loved man, humankind. And he's going to say, whatever you did for the least of these of mine, you did it for me. That's Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves the person that you don't even know yet that you need to meet. As a matter of fact, look to the person next to you. When you go to your gathering, I got a challenge for you. When you go to your gathering, wherever you're going to meet, if you're going to be in a coffee shop, a house, a building, a stucco building, or a crystal cathedral, I don't know where you're going to meet. Or the Superdome, I don't know where you're going to meet. You know, take a moment and touch somebody. Look them straight in their holes to their soul. That is their pupils, their eyes. Well, look in their eyes. Because it's nothing there, really. It's a pupil that goes down, and they'll look away from you if you have no relationship. So you got to work with them, you know, in that, and just say, you know, forgive me for not, you know, spending time with you or caring. You know, how's your life going? And you'll find out. We cannot do this on a mass scale. We're going to have to break it down and have a relationship with a few people like Jesus did, and then teach those people to have a relationship with a few people, and then just keep that going. You know what I'm saying?
See, it's one thing that, you know, a lot of people have in common in our country that we're all collectively finding out that life is not worth living the way we've been living it.
Exactly.
That's why suicide rates are so high.
Very high.
You know, and we need to get to a place where we do those things, where we really look, genuinely look somebody in the eye and say, how are you really doing?
Mm-hmm.
What's really going on?
And wait for the answer. Don't just keep on walking. Right. Not in your head, right?
Okay, brother.
Yeah, those are the ones like, oh my gosh, they're really going to tell me. You know, they're looking at their watch, looking beyond you, and, you know, yeah, you're right. It's got to be. And you gotta, the reward for us is each other. That's the reward. We're missing the reward. When you run and step over people trying to do ministry for Jesus, you stepped on Jesus. You stepped on it. You missed it. That you're supposed to have a relationship with a few other believers that you live your life with on this journey, and you people see what you're doing, called the church, and they want to do it as well. And so you share with them the gospel of the kingdom. They receive Jesus in their heart, and then you baptize them, and you disciple them, and you train them up in the commandments of the Lord, do the very same thing you're doing. It's called loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. And then they imitate you. Like Paul said, imitate me. A lot of people don't want to be imitated because what they're doing, but he says, imitate me. And they can look at your life and they say, I'm going to do what he does. I'm going to do what she does. And all of a sudden they find a few other believers and lead people to the Lord. And then they meet with them regularly and love them. And it's not hard to do on a realistic scale like Jesus did it. You know, he did it with 12. He did it with 12. And, you know, we're not better than Jesus, are we?
Mm-mm.
You know, and really like this, like, George Barna's book called Revolution, he says in the very last part of that book, he's talking to one of his traditional friends that has a traditional church expression, and he said, the truth is that if I do tell people this, most of them would leave to go do it, and I would have fewer people there. And then he goes, and he says, and what would come of that is my peers, my other people who are doing what I was doing would think less of me. And he said, but then he ends with, but the truth is, it's not about my kingdom. It's about Jesus' kingdom. And that's what we got to understand. And by the way, we're going to be held accountable for this, so we need to get it, right? This nation is at its knees right now, or at least it needs to be going to its knees right now because of the church. It's not because of the world. He says, if my people humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked ways, then the land will benefit. America is a byproduct of the church who walked right before God. And if we wanted to be a byproduct in the future, then we're going to have to get it right. We're going to have to repent. We're going to have to figure it out. We're not going to be able to do it organizationally, you know, because you can't love an organization. Of course I love you. Didn't you see the Christmas memo I put in your box?
Right.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.